Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, three women from the same family experienced the same house in completely different ways. None of them knew the home's history at the time, but all of them knew something was very wrong.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to hear your real ghost stories. And if you have one, certainly call it in. We would love that. 855-853-4802. If you would rather write it down, that's fine. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am here today.
So tomorrow, you and I will record again. We record a couple times every week. And tomorrow, Eric from Central Illinois is going to join us.
And, you know, I love Eric from Central Illinois. And it's funny, I was just talking to him, or, you know, like chatting over Messenger or whatever last night. And he had asked me if I, you know, how my house was going and so forth and so on. And I told him, I said, you know, pretty good. I hadn't had another knock in the closet, but I had another weird closet thing. And I wasn't even sure whether I wanted to say anything, but now that I mentioned it to Eric yesterday, I guess I'll throw it out there because I think maybe I'm losing my mind, maybe. But I was asleep, and all of a sudden, I was woken up, and like, you know, I know people say this could have happened in a dream or something, but it wakes me wide awake, you know, to where I'm looking at where the sound came from, and it was my closet, and it was the weirdest noise, and the only thing I can liken it to is flapping of wings.
Oh, that's a weird sound.
But a loud flapping of wings. Like, not a little bird, not a bat. Like, you could say, well, you got a bat in the house or something, right?
First thing I thought of, yeah.
That. Much louder. Like a big thing with wings. Like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, you know, like bigger wings. And it didn't last very long. But it's the weirdest thing. I'm like, what is going on in my damn closet?
Yeah.
I just can't figure out what would make that sound. Now, I looked around next day, right? Because I'm too scared to go over in the middle of the night and open up the closet. You know, I just feel like if I open it, is something going to come out of it? And I mean, like, it maybe not an actual thing, but a spirit, you know? And so I look around, there's nothing in my closet, nothing wrong with my closet, nothing I can see anywhere. It's so weird. Has anybody else had wings that they've heard? Or a sound like that? Or what might cause that sound?
I'm trying to think over the years if I've heard a story quite like that. But I personally don't like that. You know, it's just a creepy sound.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, and it's the only thing I could say, because I'm sitting there thinking, it just sounds like wings. I don't know how, it wasn't like something fell, it wasn't like something, you know, there was a good clunk or something. It was more like...
Because to be honest, you know, I don't know. I don't know if a spirit would be worse than bats, because I don't know if I could live with bats in my house.
Yeah, but I don't see any sign of a bat or anything in there.
Well, let's get Eric's... Let's chat with him about it tomorrow when he's on with us.
That's what I thought. So, yeah. So we'll get Eric's input. And if anybody else has thoughts, throw them out, because I'm all ears here. Obviously, I seem to be hearing lots of things. So let me know if anybody. I've never had it. I've literally never had anything like that before. It is just so weird. I just can't pinpoint, you know, a reason.
I just wanted you to have a nice, regular house for a change.
Well, I do like the house. Don't get me wrong. And I like it a lot. It's just something's going on and I can't quite figure it out. So anyway, we'll get Eric on, and maybe if I talk directly with him, maybe he'll get
maybe he's got some feedback. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that
tuned.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Stay tuned.
So let's start off today with a phone call from Eric because he left us a voicemail.
Hey, this is Eric from Central Illinois calling. I hope everyone had a great holiday season, Christmas, New Year. So, as Tony called it, the season of purgatory, which was like around Thanksgiving to Christmas time. First off, I just want to say, like, anybody out there that was like empathic or just have, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like this time of year, like November, December, like was really rough for me. Just so many emotions that people had, and it almost made it difficult at times just me to go out. Like I forced myself, and it wasn't like a depression or anything like that. It was just like I knew what I was going to encounter. And it was just a lot of just stress and whatever. So if any of the listeners out there kind of felt just an unknown thing that really wasn't yours, just know that you weren't alone, and that this year is just so, just with everything going on in the world, and it just really amped it up. So I'm hoping for a smoother 2026 around that. A couple quick stories. One, when I was making Christmas cookies, I don't know if you guys remember, my coworker that lives out in Colorado and her daughter that lives in the house with the mirror that has an attachment, they did not take that mirror down. And while I was making Christmas cookies, I stopped and I just got this message saying that activity is going to pick up in that house. So I texted my coworker and said, hey, is anybody staying at is your daughter or roommate staying at that house over Christmas break? And she responded saying that her daughter and another friend was. And I said, well, just be prepared that there might be increased activity. Okay. Fast forward, I was out of work a couple weeks. She was out sick. I get back to work, and she messages me and says, we need to talk real quick. So I said, okay. So I ended up talking to her. She said that her daughter was in a room, I believe it was the bathroom in the basement, where there's been other things that have happened, and there's just kind of an ucky feeling. But a small basket literally flew across the room when she was in there. That, I mean, she was just like, there was no way to explain why that happened. Not like a draft is going to do that. They don't have any pets or anything. So I told them I'd kind of try to see if there's anything else, but just right now I'm just getting the sense that it's just an attachment there. Maybe I need to help this whatever's there. Then during Christmas break with the kid, I was middle of the day, I was going to feed the dogs. So we keep their food in the garage in a container. As we have an L-shaped ranch, as I was going to the garage, which is kind of where the 90 degrees on the L would be, out of the corner of my eye, I kind of see something. Now, you know, I've had these before where like maybe it's a shadow person or something. I stopped and I just kind of smiled, go across my face, and I turned. I saw, and this wasn't like a reflection or anything, but I saw almost like a half torso, lower portion, like from the waist down, of something standing right outside the bedroom door. I took a step towards it, and it just kind of went into the bedroom. And as I took about three or four steps towards the bedroom, it kind of just went in, and I just kind of felt like there was a wall of like, just don't come in here right now. And I stopped and I turned around and walked away. But I did end up kind of drawing a picture, and it was like, I saw the lower half, but I knew what the upper half was, and it was a female. And I think it was my partner's grandmother. So anywho, more stuff to come, but thank you all very much and have a good one.
Yes, because we will have him on the show and we can just talk to him directly. We've been wanting to do something like that for a long time. Bring a listener on with us, somebody who, you know, so if somebody's got a great story they want to talk about with Kathy and I, let me know. But
yeah, we'd love that.
Eric has, he always has a wide, he's had a wide variety of experiences too.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he has like the psychic feelings, premonitions. He gets, you know, I think he actually can kind of get visions maybe at times.
Kind of sounds like that's sort of what happened with that last thing. It was kind of a half of an apparition, but he also knew what the top part looked like.
And well, what's interesting to me is like he has some psychic things where he'll see something that doesn't have really anything to do with him at all. It's somebody else. It's the thing, it's the person in Colorado, or like he was talking about earlier, sometimes it's hard because there's just a lot of emotions and he can kind of feel that and it's kind of hard. He gets these, like he'll get a thought or maybe a vision and not exactly even sure where it's coming from.
Right.
So there's that. But then there seems to be sometimes occasionally something in his house that deals directly with him. Because it feels like there's a couple things happening, you know, where he gets feelings about other people that don't really have anything to do with his a daily life. But then occasionally he throws something out. You know, yeah. I was just here doing this thing and there's this, I saw this, like this apparition that he saw. So that's a little bit different. Like, do you actually have a haunting in your house? Or do we all have hauntings in our houses? It's just some people like Eric are more, you know, have the ability to see it.
You know? True. Yeah, is it the house or is it him?
You know. Yeah,
because like I think we could have hauntings in our houses. Maybe a lot of people do, but they're not in tune enough to ever pick up on it.
Right, right. That's what I'm thinking. And like in my little house here, like I feel like it's a good house. It feels good to me. I just have this other thing. Now, would other people come in here and never notice anything? I think probably so. It just maybe happens that I'm more in tune to it. And so I get, you know, little things off of, you know, you know, I get the experiences maybe sometimes. So,
well, it'll be a fun conversation with him.
Yeah.
So we'll maybe see if he wants to do a couple episodes with us.
Yeah.
So let's go to our next story. It says, I've always wanted to share this story. It involves not just me, but my mother and grandmother as well. My grandmother lived in a house in Amarillo, Texas, I've always believed held something darker than a typical haunting. Long before my grandmother ever moved in, a suicide and a murder had both taken place in the home. At the time, no one in my family knew this. We only learned the history years later after most of the strange experiences had already happened. As a child, I remember visiting my grandmother's house often. Nothing about the place looked unusual. It was an ordinary home, but it never felt that way inside. Even at a young age, I sensed something was off. Certain rooms felt heavy, especially toward the back of the house, and I always felt uneasy being alone there. The first major experience involved my mother, although she kept it to herself for many years. One night while sleeping in the middle bedroom of the house, my mom woke up gasping for air. She said it felt like something was preventing her from breathing. When she opened her eyes, she saw a black shadow figure standing over her bed. The figure looked like a man and was wearing what she described as a straw hat. What terrified her most was that it was holding a pillow positioned as if it had been about to place it over her face. Oh my God, that's terrifying. My mother panicked, screamed, tried to fight back, and that moment the figure vanished. She fled the room, slept on the couch with the lights on for the rest of the night. I would have probably done that for a year. At the time, she never told anyone, afraid she'd be dismissed or told it was just a bad dream. Years later, when she finally shared the experience, she admitted the most unsettling part was the feeling that the presence was angry she had woken up. Over the years, smaller but persistent activity continued in the house. Doors would close on their own. Knocking would come from the inside walls, sometimes slow and deliberate. Objects would move or disappear only to turn up later in obvious places. A rocking chair would move on its own when the air was completely still. As I got older, I became more aware of how specific the activity felt. Didn't feel random. The back rooms of the house felt especially oppressive, and I often avoided them altogether. Another major incident occurred when my older brother and his wife visited from Florida. At first, everything seemed normal, but during their stay, my brother began acting strangely. He became agitated, aggressive, and unpredictable. He would lash out over small things and seemed constantly on edge, like he was being provoked by something no one else could see. The behavior escalated to the point where he became physically violent, punching walls and throwing things. His wife was frightened by the sudden change and no longer recognized him. They ended their visit early and returned to Florida. Shortly after returning home, my brother sought out a priest and was blessed. He never spoke much about what happened in that house, but he also never stayed there again. As for me, I always felt something evil resided in the home. It wasn't just a ghost or lingering energy. Whatever was there felt intentional and hostile. Years later, when I learned about the suicide and murder that had taken place before my grandmother moved in, it confirmed what I felt all along. My grandmother passed away in April of 2009. That's when my experience changed dramatically. Despite what people might assume, my grandmother and I were not close. We didn't share a deep emotional bond, which is why what happened next confused me so much. After her death, I began having extremely vivid and recurring dreams involving her house. In these dreams, I would enter the home and immediately walk to the back room, the same room that had always felt the darkest to me. Inside, there would be a thick, dark mass or an overwhelming presence filling the space. I could feel its anger and its power, and in the dream, I would find myself fighting it, trying to push it out or confront it directly. My grandmother would sometimes appear in these dreams as well. She wouldn't always speak, but her presence felt intentional, as if she was guiding me or warning me. The most disturbing part of the dreams was how they always ended. The dark presence would reveal itself fully, taking the form of a demon, something grotesque and unmistakably evil. I would wake up shaking, my heart racing, drenched in sweat. These dreams repeated over and over again, always following the same pattern. Around this time, I also began to realize I had abilities I hadn't fully recognized before. I started connecting with people who had passed away through dreams. I would receive messages or impressions that later proved accurate. I became more sensitive to others' emotions and energies, sometimes knowing things about people without being told. Looking back, it feels like my grandmother's death triggered something within me, almost as if a door had been opened. I began to understand whatever existed in that house had affected my entire family in different ways, and that I might be more connected to it than I realized. Even now, the memory of that house feels heavy. It wasn't just haunted, it felt corrupted. That's interesting. The presence there didn't want attention, it wanted control. To this day, I can't shake the feeling that whatever was in that home recognized something in me and still lingers in my dreams because it knows I'm aware of it now. I've had many paranormal experiences since then. I hope to share more in the future, but this house will always stand out as the place where something dark first made itself known and where my understanding of the paranormal truly began. Rebecca. So I kind of have a theory about the house.
Okay, throw it on me.
Now, it could be what came first. I'm not totally sure. I feel like there was a murder-suicide in the house. And so as I'm reading that, I'm like, I'm thinking a man murdered his wife. That was what happened to the mom.
Okay.
That was his evil presence. That it kind of possessed the brother. But I don't know what came first, that evil man, or was there something dark already there that kind of possessed that man to do what he did?
Oh, well, that's possible.
And I'm assuming murder-suicide just because I'm picking up on that vibe that he did something to a woman. Because it does feel masculine, whatever's in there, and evil. I don't know.
I, You know, I think it could be either way, right? I think there could have been something evil already there, and then it possessed the man to do this. Or, like you said, could have been this horrible, tragic situation of the murder-suicide, and then that lingers there. I think we could have either one. I've definitely, you know, there's a couple things. One thing surprises me in this is, what about the grandmother? There's no talk about her having experiences or her saying, like, what was her response? Did no one ever bring it up with her? And
Well,
that
and
could
I
be.
got the feeling that who knows, because she said she wasn't close and didn't have a strong emotional bond with her grandmother. Maybe her mom was kind of the same way. Maybe grandma
But
was
how
just
does
kind
the
of,
grandma live in this darkness,
I don't
for so
know.
long? You know what I mean? That there's just something odd with the grandmother in this story, that she could not, because you would think, gosh, as much activity as it seemed was happening in this house, and very, very dramatic experiences that were happening, how could the grandmother be totally immune to that? That,
Yeah.
you know, like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that a little bit, and that she'd stayed there that long. So I'm gonna go with a couple things. One is that I think that, yes, totally haunted. There's totally something there, totally something going on. But I think that after the grandmother passed and the dreams that she was having and so forth, I think that could be post-traumatic stress.
I do too. It could be.
Because I have experienced the same thing. And I always wondered, was growing up, my dreams, and I would have these dreams. Oh gosh, I will still on occasion have a dream, but I would say up until I was in my 40s or so, I would have them all the time. And I'd wake up just drenched and horrible experiences. And I always wonder, did the thing, is it somehow attached to me and it's causing these dreams? Now looking back at that, I think it was more just a post-traumatic stress of
Yes.
living in that. And I think maybe that was what happened here to Rebecca, that after her grandmother died, she kind of went through this post-traumatic stress and was causing these horrible dreams. But I also think that sometimes you can have these things and they open up you to paranormal experiences and activity, and that they can kind of open up your own empathetic psychic abilities. I don't think we just have to say you know this has happened, because in the story we just had before, we kind of touched that a little bit, that I think maybe we can develop these, and then they start to mature and open up in us later.
Yeah, because I was talking to a girl this week for the Grave Talks, and we had a conversation about that. This is the second time I've interviewed her. Her house was so haunted. I am not shitting you. Lorraine Warren came to their house.
That's pretty
Like, you
haunted.
know your house is haunted when. And so when she's a kid, that's what she's grown up in. And so, you know, I feel like our haunted house was cute, probably compared to hers. But I'm like, I asked her that question. Do you think that when you're young and you're in an environment like that, does that kind of open you up to your whole life? Because don't you think that once it's turned on at a young age, you don't get the choice of turning it off? That you're kind of open to it? And it,
I think more than not, you are open to it. But I also think that maybe things can happen along the way later that
Oh,
might open
absolutely.
you, right?
Absolutely. But I think when it definitely when it happens to you as a child, it just changes everything.
I think so. I do.
So, yeah. I'm so glad that Lorraine Warren never had to come to our house, but you know, it was a little different time. Our mom was just like busy being in denial. You know how that goes.
Oh, you kids.
You kids and your overactive imagination. Yet she's the one who named the ghost.
Exactly.
So if you have a real ghost story, we would really like to hear it. If you want to call it in, call 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can be a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.